Candyman. And then, not at the same time.
I was going to say, was it awkward when you saw Tony Todd to then you're holding the DVD in your hand and he just appears?
It's actually signed. I guess I got to come to sign it.
With his hook hand.
I'm like, let me just get the pen in there real quick. It was months later, but then, like, you know, you're walking down a grocery store aisle relatively late at night, and suddenly before you appears the Candyman, Tony Todd himself, and you're just like, okay.
Just keep walking, sir.
I don't need that pint of ice cream that badly.
Just keep walking.
Yeah.
The first time I ever saw this film, we said the word twice, so I'd rather not say it again if you don't mind.
Yes, we can pass on saying.
I watched it with my ex-boyfriend, and he was a bit of a pothead, and I did not smoke very much, still do not smoke very much weed, and so I indulged, and we watched Candyman. Oh, no, I said it again.
Oh, God, we're doomed.
And so we were watching it, and I got extremely stoned right about the time when the dog's head gets chopped off.
Oh, no.
And goes flying through the air, and I was like, oh no, are we even still watching the same movie? And then I had to finish the rest of this film high out of my gourd.
Yeah.
And terrified. And terrified forever. And I don't know if it's a good movie or a bad movie. I just know that I'm scared of it.
It's a good bad movie. Like, it was obviously a fairly low budget endeavor, but I think it's pretty good. Virginia Madsen plays the lead.
She's very pretty in it. I remember that. She's
very pretty in it. It's definitely real scary.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of like socially conscious in a way because it's all about these like projects.
Yeah, it's about Cabrini Green.
Yeah. Yeah. So, hi, Aaron.
Hi, Jason.
How's it going?
It's good. It is a beautiful day.
It's true. Beautiful Saturday. We're over at my house.
Yeah, it's kind of nice chill recording session.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good. This is a terrible thing to tell somebody who has a toddler, but I did sleep for 10 and a half hours last night.
Oh, that sounds so nice.
I took two Z-Quils, which I've discovered that the active ingredient in Z-Quil is just Benadryl.
Oh, yeah. You can take Benadryl to go to sleep. I've done it all the time because, like, I have allergies and, like, I won't take it during the day because it just zombifies me immediately. But, like, if I can't sleep and I'm, like, stuffy, I'm, like, pop two Benadryls and I'm out.
Well, Benadryl, for whatever reason, makes me super anxious and wired. But,
oh, weird.
And that's weird. But that sweet, sweet Z-Quil just puts me down.
Good.
And I was down and out for 10 and a half hours, and it was wonderful. So I feel refreshed and full of Diet Coke. And ready. Yeah, thank you. And ready to introduce this fine podcast, Traumatized, a podcast in which we rewatch the movies from our childhood and discuss them in the cold light of adulthood.
That is correct. I'm Jason Apple.
And I'm Aaron Ridgway.
And this week we are discussing Anastasia.
I need to confess some things about this.
Please. Consider me your priest.
Yeah. I thought this was a much older movie than it actually is.
I did not consider that fact at all when I agreed to do this movie, but I kind of assumed it was as well.
Yeah, it's a Don Bluth film. I didn't know how I managed to miss it because it did. I thought it came out around the same time as The Little Mermaid, and I sort of overlooked it in my passion for The Little Mermaid.
And then you realized that you were 17 when it came out.
Yeah, and that's why I didn't see it.
Right.
And also, I realized that the reason I thought that it came out the same time as The Little Mermaid is that they were so nervous about this movie coming out at Disney, they re-released The Little Mermaid at the same time just to fuck with the people at 21st Century Fox who made Anastasia.
Right.
So...
And it, I believe it worked.
It did work. Because I don't know that I noticed that this movie even existed, really.
There's also could be another reason for that.
Is it because it sucks?
That's what I was going. That's where I was going with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
This movie, not great.
Not a great one.
No, I feel like, I mean, poor Don Bluth. Like, he really, he gives it his all. But I just find that his later works suffer a lot.
I think we kind of reached a point of diminishing returns with Don Bluth after The Land Before Time.
I would agree with that. I would agree wholeheartedly with that.
So this, I don't know. This is probably the, I think, the most recent movie we'll do.
Yeah, I mean, it starts to get to the point. I mean, unless people suggest things that are, you know, unless we get to this point where we just run out of
movies,
80s and early 90s and, stuff. And
the 70s isn't giving it to us.
And people are just like, hey, what about this movie? It really traumatized me as a kid. I was born in 1992. And we're like, I'll watch that. I mean, there's got to be ones that people who are younger than us have found. But I'm not ready to listen to those people yet.
I'm not either. They haven't earned it.
No.
You got to earn it, millennials.
Yeah. Yeah.
So another caveat about this film is that it is deeply historically inaccurate.
Yeah.
And as a person who is interested enough in Russian history to kind of have a sense of this era, the sort of last of the Red Hot Romanovs, I was annoyed by how bananas wrong it is. And I just kept watching the movie like, that's not right, that's not right, that's not right. Rasputin was real dead before this even happened.
Yeah.
So I will try to interject some of my, some reality into this, but the truth is that I can't get through the book on the Romanovs that I bought, and I've only watched Russia Land of the Tsars like 12 or 15 times.
Okay, well, I mean, you're way ahead of me, because as far as I'm concerned, this was a documentary. So, basically, this is a Don Bluth film. Starring Meg Ryan and John Cusack. Meg Ryan as the titular Anastasia.
Titular.
Titular, I know. It's funny. John Cusack plays a man named Dimitri, who is a con man. Also starring Kelsey Grammer, Angela...
Lansbury.
I was going to say Angela Bassett. That's not right.
No, there are no different black people in this film, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Andrea Martin and
Bernadette Peters, wonderful Bernadette Peters, who I love.
Yeah. Who else? Oh, Christopher Lloyd as Rasputin.
Yeah, as Rasputin. And Hank Azaria.
And Hank Azaria as
Bartok.
Bartok, the albino fruit bat, who is Rasputin's minion.
He's familiar, I guess.
So
they leaned hard into Rasputin as Dark Wizard in this.
Yes. Please also tell me that Bartok is historically accurate.
Oh, that is actually the only thing that's historically accurate.
Really?
Is that Rasputin did have a pet fruit bat.
Who talked and...
Did
a lot of, like, funny character voices on The Simpsons.
Did some leg work for him in the real world while he's stuck in limbo.
Okay,
all
good.
That's true. Everything else is wrong.
It had the ring of truth to it.
I thought so. So we open in the winter, I'm assuming the Winter Palace in St. Petersburg in 1916 and a ball. And it's a beautiful, wonderful ball because everything is fantastic and wonderful in 1916 in Russia, only if you're the Tsar.
Pretty much.
Everywhere else, everyone's starving and cold and probably drunk. And so we see... we hear Angela Lansbury narrating this because she's playing the role of the Empress Maria. I'm not gonna butcher this name, but she's playing Tsar Nicholas's mother.
Yes.
And she is visiting the palace during this ball, and she's a special close relationship with her granddaughter Anastasia.
Right. And so she lives in Paris most of the time.
Right. So she gives Anastasia, who I believe young Anastasia may actually be voiced by Kirsten Dunst.
It is. It is. And her singing voice is Lacey Chabert.
Yeah. Isn't she from Party of Five?
Yep.
Yeah. And she's not Gretchen Wieners, is she?
From
Mean Girls.
Yes,
she is. Oh, look at that. Oh. Yep. So Gretchen Wieners sings this number with Angela Lansbury about meeting in Paris and Once Upon a December, and it's a leitmotif,
yeah.
That turns up a bunch in the
film. This lullaby. It is worth pointing out at this point that, at least at this point in Don Bluth's career, he has learned an important lesson, which is, if your actors can't sing, get people to sing their parts.
It's a really good lesson.
Yeah, it's a really good lesson. It works out real, real well, because I believe John Cusack, Lord knows why he took this role, probably the money.
That's always the money. That's always the answer.
I think that's the reason John Cusack takes every role now, because he has not done anything good since Gross Point Blank.
Yeah. Wait, was that before or after High Fidelity?
Whichever. Those two movies.
I mean, I don't care for High Fidelity, because I have dated that guy.
Oh, good. Yeah. And I like High Fidelity.
It gives me the old PTSD.
But
the D is for dick.
Oh, jeez. Post-traumatic stress dick?
It was a stress dick, for sure. It was nothing but stress dick.
Okay. Probably you guys can hear my son above us doing whatever the fuck he's doing.
He's extremely cute.
Yeah, but he's louder
than you would think a 30-pound child would be.
He's probably banging something on the floor. Either that or it's Carrie doing something passive-aggressively resentful about our podcast. But, which I think she's actually starting.
I don't think that's a real thing.
No, that's a toy rolling. That's gotta
be. Yeah, that sounds like someone's playing, like, with a train, maybe?
Possibly a train. He does own several thousand trains. So, at this point, Rasputin, the mad monk Rasputin, walks into this ball and curses the Romanov family.
He is evil as shit.
He is evil as shit. He is basically, he is a mad wizard kind of guy. And he, oh my god.
Soldier forward.
I'm waiting to see if it'll pass. I feel like I have to do something about this. Okay, I handled it.
Nice.
For those playing along at home, it was in fact a boat that was being dragged along the floor. It was a toy boat. So, yes. And
so Rasputin had entered the ball.
Rasputin has entered the ball, and he is pretty scary.
You know, he looks like he looks like Nicodemus.
Mm-hmm.
But human and evil.
Yes.
And he has big pointy hands, and he's got glowing eyes, and he has all of his power in a jar.
Yeah, it's a reliquary, which I meant to look up what a reliquary is.
It's a place where they would put pieces, relics from the saints in churches, like bone from St. Peter, or like somebody's foreskin.
Oh man, who doesn't want to get finger boned by St. Peter? Blasphemy.
I'm just gonna hide from the lightning.
Yeah, that's some blasphemy right there. So he has been he was an advisor to the Romanovs, am I correct?
Yeah, well, so historically, the Romanovs had the heir to the throne, Grand Duke Alexei, had hemophilia. And so Rasputin ingratiated himself to the Tsarina Alexandra and Tsar Nicholas because he was able to somehow or other stop Alexei's bleeding when he had an issue.
Okay.
So there's a lot of theories about how he managed to do that. Some people think it's because the doctors were fussing over him too much and let him lay still long enough to let the blood clot.
Gotcha.
Or they were giving him aspirin, which was kind of a cure-all in those days, and aspirin thins the blood, which isn't great for hemophiliacs.
Which you do not want.
So Rasputin was the only person who could cure Alexei, and because he was so precious to the family, both because he was their son, but also because he was the heir.
Right.
He managed to kind of get this role as almost a member of the family and the highest level advisor in the court.
But then he turned out to be crazy.
Well, he turned out to be, yes, crazy, and also very, very bad at the administrative tasks that somehow managed to fall to him.
Yes. So, in the film, however, he is a wizard.
He's just a crazy-ass wizard.
He's a crazy-ass wizard, and he is mad about being dismissed from his post as advisor to the Romanovs, and so has sold his soul to something or other for this power that he then... And when they do the selling his soul scene, basically what happens is...
It's so awesome.
It's really awesome. All of his flesh gets ripped off, and he becomes a skeleton, and then his flesh gets put back on him, and he gets this reliquary full of green juice that then spits out green fog, and little demons come out of the fog. Little green demons.
It's just a jar of evil. Just a jar of concentrated evil.
Pretty much.
And kale, I guess.
And finger boning. So... He basically says that he's going to kill all the Romanovs in revenge, and then little demon green demons cause the Bolshevik Rebellion.
Which...
It's just totally historically accurate.
For sure, yeah. It definitely wasn't just starvation and peasants being used as cannon fodder in World War One.
And
just massive income inequality.
Yeah.
None of that. It was all demons.
It was all green demons. Thanks, Don Bluth, for that
simplification.
Yeah, of a myriad of historical factors that contributed to the rise of communism. So the Romanovs are trying to escape. Anastasia loses this music box that her grandmother has given her in the escape.
Well, let me say, so this is, you're glossing over some important things that are going to pop up later.
Okay, go back.
And I realize this movie sucks.
I kind of glossed over a lot of things in this movie, so feel free to correct me and go back.
Well, the key factor in this is during the course of them trying to pile out of the castle on their way to safety in Paris, Anastasia is and her grandmother are assisted by a servant boy named Dimitri.
Correct.
And they go through, I guess, a secret passage to go out the back door, I guess. And that's when she loses the music box and Dimitri scoops it up.
Right.
And keeps it, which is important later.
Yeah.
So Anastasia and her grandmother are running across the frozen lake and Rasputin tries to kill them because I guess everyone else is dead at this point. That's not how it happened. But everybody else is dead in this alternate parallel timeline of the Russian Revolution. And he tries to kill them and starts to, I guess, shoot some green juice at them or whatever. But instead he falls through the ice to his icy, cold, dark doom.
Right.
In reality, Rasputin was assassinated and he was poisoned, shot, and stabbed. And then fell and then thrown in the river.
Yeah.
But they make a run for it, Grandmama and Anastasia. And Anastasia gets knocked out.
Trying to jump on a train. Yeah.
And she's lost.
Yes.
And Grandmama goes on without her to Paris, which, I save yourself, I guess.
Yeah, I mean.
Really? Anyway.
I don't know. So flash forward 10 years, the communists are now in charge, and yet a rumor still persists that Anastasia is still alive. And basically, the Dowager Empress, Maria Angela Lansbury, has put out a reward for anybody who can help her find her missing granddaughter of 10 million rubles, which I believe is about $82.
And 67 cents, yes.
Yes. So, two dudes, Vladimir and Dimitri.
Who was the servant boy.
Who was the servant boy.
If you haven't made that connection.
Right. Because there's only one person named Dimitri
in all of Russia.
All of Russia. Have hatched a plan, not a very original plan, apparently, to find a fake Anastasia to help get them out of Russia and get the grandmother's reward.
Right.
And this seems like a dumb plan. Because, I mean, he does have the music box, which is helpful.
But I don't think he doesn't really seem to plan to use that music box. Also, he kept the music box instead of selling it for whatever he could get for it when I assume he was scrapping and starving his way to adulthood.
Well, I mean,
but he obviously had a crush on Anastasia.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like holding on to this thing.
So, I just don't.
I mean, they're gonna Pygmalion her, which
it's a very My Fair Lady plan. Like, they're gonna train her up with all the knowledge of about the Romanovs and all the answers and stuff. But I still just think that, like,
it's just a dumb plan. It's a very dumb plan.
It's a very dumb plan. Meanwhile, at the People's Orphanage, a young girl.
People's Orphanage. Is that really what it's called?
That's really what it's called. That's really what it's called. It's on a sign.
It's not in Cyrillic either. It's written in like a.
Let's just talk about let's just talk about this for a second. Like, everybody here, with the exception of Meg Ryan and John Cusack, are at least making a attempt at a Russian accent.
Half-hearted though it may be.
Angela Lansbury is probably the best. Kelsey Grammer, number two. Kelsey Grammer plays Vlad.
Right.
And
Bartok doesn't even,
he's a fruit bat, so he's not from Russia.
Right.
So that's,
he does have a funny accent though. I'm not sure what that accent is.
It's Hank Azaria. I don't know it's what whatever. It is. I'm not even sure if I like Hank Azaria. I respect his work on The Simpsons.
Yes.
But this is not his finest work.
Well, I'm sure he's only employed because Dom DeLuise is either dead or unavailable.
Yes. Why isn't it Dom DeLuise? That would have been quite a thing. Anyway, this young girl, Anya, you kind of get where this is going.
Yeah.
Is leaving the orphanage. She is turned 18, is aging out of the foster care system, such as it is in Russia, in whatever year that is. And
1926,
yes.
10 years later.
10 years later. So she's leaving to work in like a fishing village or something?
Sure. She's going to go work in the fish factory, I guess?
Yeah. And she has Anastasia's necklace, the one that her grandmother gave her to unlock the music box.
Which I refuse to believe that orphanage lady would not have snatched off of her in 15 seconds after her arriving at the orphanage.
Oh, absolutely.
There's no way that this necklace wasn't getting, like, commandeered for the common good.
Yeah, absolutely. Comrade. Absolutely. She's looking for her family because she has amnesia.
How strange. What a coinkydink.
What a coincidence. And then a puppy shows up who steals her scarf, which she then takes as a sign to, instead of going to the fishing village and a life of hardship and pain, to go to St. Petersburg and try to get, like, figure out who her family is.
Right. And she has this weird gut feeling. Oh, no. On the back of the necklace, it says together in Paris.
Together in Paris.
So she has this feeling she needs to go to Paris.
Right.
To find her family.
Right.
Also, this dog looks exactly like Gurgi.
It from the does. Black Cauldron. You are correct.
It is exactly the same design, but a dog.
But a dog, yes.
And so she sings the, like, Oscar bait song, which I think may have actually won an Oscar.
Which is sad, because, like, what I wrote here in my notes is, there are too many songs in this movie already. We're 15 minutes in and on song 2 already.
There are so many, there are enough songs in this movie that they have turned this movie into a musical.
Yes.
On Broadway, or are in the process of doing so. They also had Anastasia on Ice.
Yes. Which I would have liked to see.
Yeah, I'd see that.
I'm always up for a good capade, ice or otherwise.
It's the only kind of capade there is. Yeah, no, right? Do you think spaghetti capade?
I mean, according to Janet Jackson, there's an escapade.
There's an escapade. Yes, I forgot.
Which I would also like to go on.
I would like to go on a pasca capade. Pasta capade?
Pasta
capade. It's like another word for festival, maybe?
Yeah. I think escapade is just a portmanteau of ice and escapade.
You think? I'm not being sarcastic. That just, like, I thought it was two words. Ice capades.
No, I'm pretty sure it's a portmanteau of ice and escapades.
So you're telling me that capade isn't just a
word? Yeah, I don't think so.
I thought that was a word.
No, I think it's
like it was a specific kind of, like, a thing you do on ice.
I don't think
a capade.
So. Like a triple Lutz or something?
No, not like a triple Lutz, like an event. Like, you know, like, oh, this is an ice capade. This is a horse capade.
No, I don't believe so, but I hope so. I hope I'm wrong about this. Because
I hope you're not.
Mine just minimizes it into like some funny word that somebody came up with to sell an ice show.
Well, that does sound more American.
Yeah. Where we take words and just...
Well, we callously use things to sell other things. But that does explain why I've never heard Capade as
used ever by
any other way. It's never been like, oh, we're having a ballet capade.
We're having a lawn capade this weekend. Would you like to attend?
Yeah. We're serving Bloody Marys.
Yeah. At our capade.
At the golf capade.
At the golf capade.
Oh, anyway.
That's funny. That's real good.
Boy, I feel like digressions are going to save this episode.
Yeah, I hope
this
so.
Movie is trash.
Yeah.
So, anyway, what were we saying about this? Oh, she sings. She sings a very nice song. And then she rushes off with her dog, Pooka, to...
The dog she just found.
Right. This dog found her.
This dog did find her.
And this dog is very... this dog is the only character that knows what's happening.
It's a very precocious dog and sort of leads her on her way to her destiny.
Right. So...
But apparently cannot get her a exit visa out of Russia because when she arrives in St. Petersburg and attempts to buy a train ticket to Paris, they shut her the fuck down.
Yeah, they're like, you're going to need some papers.
Yeah. Papers, please.
But luckily, the old lady behind her, and everyone's grotesque, by the way, except for our main characters.
Yes.
The grotesque old lady behind her is like, you know what you need? You need to find Dmitri, the only Dmitri in all of St. Petersburg.
Right. And Russia as a whole.
That's the only one.
He is now as we've learned, a con man, essentially, who can forge documents.
Right. So he both forges princesses and documents.
Exactly.
And he is hanging out with
and
his friend
Vlad.
And friendships. Oh, he also forges friendships. And he is currently with his partner Vlad.
Oh my God. Has my child gained 1,000 pounds yeah. in the last 15 minutes? Did she put, like...
He's very heavy-footed.
Did he put, like... I don't even know.
His pockets are full of rocks.
And he's apparently wearing wooden clogs, which I didn't know he owned.
He's an adorable Dutch boy now.
Oh my God, Holden. Can you play in the living room, please?
So, Vlad and Dmitri are auditioning princesses.
Yes.
And it's not going great.
Not going well.
They're doing this. They seem to be living in the Winter Palace.
Yes.
I'm going to assume this is the Winter Palace. I think it is.
Yeah, it's a palace. It's the old palace where the ball was held. And because when Anastasia goes to find him, she starts to have like visions and memories of the dance and the ball.
Right. It's very... I will say this for this movie. It really has its sparkles down.
Oh, it's super sparkly.
There's a lot of glitter.
There's a lot of glittering, a lot of, like, magical shit happening.
So much shimmering.
And, yeah.
So she has this whole vision of a ball, and she has this memory of dancing with her father, and she's still literally standing right in front of her family portrait with a painting of her behind her, and she's still not picking up that maybe... I mean, I guess you would never... I don't know why you would think, like, maybe I'm the Grand Duchess Anastasia. Like...
I can see that would not even enter your head if you lived your entire life that you can remember in an orphanage.
Right.
In Russia in 1926.
But then you might also be like, but where did this Fabergé necklace come from?
That is true. That necklace is fancy, fancy.
It is. So while she's having this sort of dreamy musical number, Dmitri and Vlad see her.
Yes,
they catch her in throes of this. And Dmitri sees how similar she looks to young Anastasia and starts to...
Because this painting is literally right behind
her. Right over her shoulder.
Yeah. So it's basically like a mugshot of young Anastasia. And she, like, you know, it's like a police lineup and she's just standing right there.
Right. And so he starts to concoct a plan.
He starts to concoct a plan wherein they're going to take her to Paris as Anastasia, train her up. And I'm unclear about, like, kind of how much she understands what this plan is. Like, she's sort of, like...
She is not... She's innocent.
Yes.
She's an innocent. I was going to say she's a bit of a dunce, which is also not exactly true.
No, she's street smart. She's a street smart young lady.
I would disagree with that. I don't think she's street smart. I think that she is smart. Okay. But I don't know that she is savvy to the ways of people who might use her. I think she's naive.
Yeah, I get this is a kind of an interesting mix of, like, she is pretty intelligent, but seemingly naive, which you'd think would have been beaten out of her long ago at the people's orphanage.
For sure. You know she was getting hung by her thumbs out a window in the dead of night and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, this girl hasn't... People orphanage isn't nice.
No. The lady who runs it was real mean.
Real nasty to her.
Yeah.
So... Anastasia, this is, oh, this movie's frustrating because this is the kind of movie that drives me crazy where everything's always just brushing past you. All the solutions are right there and no one seems to be noticing that they're the solutions and the answers right there. Like, turn around, girl. There's a picture of you behind you.
Yeah.
Like, I look exactly like my baby pictures, right? Like, you can, you know, I mean, yourself.
Yeah.
Has this Anna never seen a mirror?
Maybe not. I mean, mirrors were confiscated by the Politburo, I believe.
Sure, that's true. So,
well, if Don Bluth can make up history, so can I.
Damn it. So, they convince her that she could be the Grand Duchess Anastasia. And she starts to go, oh, maybe I could be.
Yeah.
So, the whole plan here is one way or the other get to go to Paris.
Yeah.
And whether you're going,
like, she basically does it for the trip to Paris. Yeah. Just doing it for the gram. Get that sweet Eiffel Tower picture, if the Eiffel Tower was built then.
Right.
Which I don't know, because I'm an American. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care either. So, but I think it might have been. Anyway, high in the rafters, Bartok is hanging out.
Yeah.
While all this is going on.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first we see of Bartok, our small white fruit bat. And he happens to have the reliquary.
Right.
And as soon as Anastasia comes into the castle... Or the palace or whatever, the reliquary wakes up.
Yes.
Full of evil.
Fills up with that green juice.
It fills up with that green evil hate juice. And it wraps Bartok into its sort of...
Vortex.
And sucks him into limbo where Rasputin is kicking it for eternity on a giant pile of bones.
Right. Which seems, I mean, pretty cool by me.
It's pretty sweet. Now, here's the thing with Rasputin in limbo. And it doesn't make a ton of sense.
No.
Because I would think that that would be his immortal soul, which he has sold in limbo, sort of in an ethereal way. Instead, it seems to be his meaty flesh body, which is rotting and falling apart.
Yes.
Because Rasputin is in limbo in the flesh, and he's kind of a zombie. He's an undead, sentient flesh person whose job is unfinished.
Right. He's stuck in limbo because his curse is unfulfilled. So, and hence, I guess that's why, like, the devil doesn't get his soul or something?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'm not going to try to make sense of this. What I am going to talk about, though, is that in this movie for children, Rasputin's body parts keep falling off.
Yeah.
Like, his hands fall off, and his eyeballs pop out, and his lips fall off of his face, and he decapitates himself sometimes.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a raw bone coming out of his wrist when his hand falls off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's gross.
It's gross and disturbing.
And it's... He's a villain who is both meant to be comic relief, but also ultimate evil.
Yes. And the comedy part of it is when his parts fall off.
Right.
Which is kind of funny, but probably shouldn't be.
I feel like he needed to have a minion whose body parts fall off.
That would have been good. He should have had a... I mean, but then you can't have a bat minion. I still don't understand the bat.
I don't know. I feel like he's... Was this before? This is after Ferngully, right? Maybe he was
well after Ferngully.
Maybe he was like, well, that bat in Ferngully was successful.
At destroying lives?
Yeah, maybe he's like, goths are bad. Bats and goths. Okay. Rasputin's a little bit goth.
Okay. So Rasputin has a song now.
It's
song number 3. I think we're like 20 minutes in. It's only been 2.5 minutes since the last song. And all surrounding him... in limbo are like beetles and other bugs, and they are like his backup singers.
Yeah. And I can't put my finger on what genre of music this is. It's like a little bit of a gospel choir, but
yeah,
I don't know.
It's musical music. It's just that kind of generic musical.
It's like, yeah, it's musical music.
Yeah, that's what all these songs are too. Is it's just like real
forgettable musical. If you've seen like the Scarlet Pimpernel or like any other forgettable musical.
Actually, I could never forget the Scarlet Pimpernel. That score is seared into my brain.
Into your heart.
Yes.
But yeah, it's just like...
It's
theater kid pablum.
Yeah, it's not good.
And I say this as a theater kid, like...
Yeah. So he now knows that Anastasia is alive, maybe alive. I think it's pretty clear to him that this is actually Anastasia.
Yeah, he knows it's her.
The reliquary knows what's up. It's like... It's a magic jar that...
With a skull on it, which is cool.
Yeah, which is... That is
the reliquary is cool.
The reliquary is cool.
There's a lot of cool design in this.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty movie.
It's pretty.
It's a good-looking film. It's well animated and well done.
I actually will say that the people... I don't like the way that Don Bluth animates people. Or the way that this... He's more of a talking animal guy.
Yeah, I think he definitely does better with anthropomorphized talking animals.
Yeah. Like, I could barely... Dimitri just embarrassed me to look at.
He did, yeah.
And maybe it's just because I keep seeing John Cusack. Doesn't matter. What's important is that Rasputin sends the help.
Right.
By that I mean his demonic forces, to try and kill Anastasia and her buddies.
Right.
I would think that he would want the pleasure of doing it himself.
Well, eventually, I think...
Eventually he gets around to that.
Yeah, but, I wasn't sure if there was something keeping him in limbo.
I feel like he was just like, I'll let my demons do it.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, and that's just a plot device to kind of keep the big reveal.
Yeah. I also think that limbo is really easy to get into. Like, it's weird to me that Bartok can just go and come and go from limbo.
Well, I think you need the reliquary.
Yeah, you're probably right. So, anyway, they're on a train... Anastasia and Vlad and...
Yeah.
And Dimitri.
And Dimitri.
And they're flirting and arguing
and obviously having...
Sexual tension.
Kind of like a moonlighting relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the demons land on this train just as Vlad finds out that their forged travel papers are no longer any good.
Right.
So they head to the baggage car, where the demons separate the engine and the baggage car from the rest of the train... I didn't realize that the baggage car was right behind the engine.
Yeah, who knew?
I don't know if that's...
I would think it'd be further back.
I would think it'd be further back, too. I don't know if that's accurate or if that's just...
Convenient?
Convenient. But Dimitri manages to get the baggage car disconnected from the engine, but the demons then destroy a bridge.
It's very cool because they blow up this bridge and then there's a big-ass, like, green gargoyle that's all like...
Yeah, no, it's like the Neptune water wave in American Tale.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, and it is cool looking. But so they're running towards this broken bridge, and they're gonna careen off of it if they don't jump
or whatever.
I mean,
so but Anya, because she is kind of like good at things conveniently sometimes.
Yeah.
She and Dimitri rig up, like, a grappling hook.
Right.
To slow the train down enough so they could jump off of it.
Yeah.
And this is where they bond, because he's like, wow, she's hot and smart.
Yeah. And
maybe the Grand Duchess Anastasia.
And nothing brings people together like near-death demon experiences.
That's what happened to Cindy Crawford and her... No, I'm thinking of that one guy that Julia Roberts married after the plane crash.
Lyle Lovett?
No. Somebody had a... Maybe it's Cindy. Christy Brinkley. It's Christy Brinkley. She was in a plane crash with a dude and they got married.
I think he was also a billionaire, though.
Well, that helps.
Yeah. So...
So, Rasputin throws a big hissy fit. And parts of him fall off and shit. Oh, this is a thing I hated. The reliquary down in limbo almost falls and breaks.
Mm-hmm.
So Rasputin shoots his hand out, and it's still connected with, like, veins and sinews and stuff, but they shoot out of his arm?
Like Mr. Fantastic style.
Right, but, like, naked guts.
Which arm would be, guts. Oh, man, I wish that was what Mr. Fantastic did. That would make Fantastic Four way better.
So much more interesting.
Yeah. And just way more real. Like, it's just like his everything but his skin is elastic.
Oh, so gross. Dark and gritty. Don't say that out loud, because I feel like they try to make a dark and gritty Fantastic Four movie every 3 or 4 years, and this might be the next, another terrible idea.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a terrible idea because it came from me.
I don't think that that's by necessity a terrible idea, but I do think it would be very grody to see Mr. Fantastic just be like, every time he stretches.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, it's disgusting, and I felt the need to write a note down about that, because why would you do that? It's gross. Because it's gross. That's why you did it.
Yeah, it's because it's gross.
Dom was like, yeah,
how can it... You know, he's like, everything else about this movie is like very sparkly and shimmery.
And sort of
dull. And about rich people. Like, there really aren't enough poor people in this movie for Don Bluth's, like, taste.
Not enough tatters.
Not enough things are tattered. So that's why Limbo is there, is to provide the skulls and tatters and moistness
and
the, of
and the wet insides of people.
Exactly.
So after this near-death experience, the travel is pretty gentle and pleasant.
So they're on foot now, I think.
Yeah, I guess they're just gonna walk to Paris.
Well, they're going to try and catch a boat now.
Yeah, they are gonna catch a boat in Germany. Yeah,
but during this time, after getting off the train, Dimitri and Vlad reveal that Anya has to convince the Empress's first cousin Sophie that Anya is Anastasia. So, to get access to the Empress, they need to go through this Sophie woman.
And Anya's like, I didn't know I was going to have to lie.
Yeah, dummy. Like,
dunce.
So, yeah. But, I mean, so is Sophie not in Paris? I think she's in France somewhere.
Sophie's in Paris. She's like a lady in waiting.
Right.
So she is kind of the gatekeeper to the Empress.
Right.
They can't just like bounce into the Empress and be like, hello, this is your granddaughter. They have to sort of be vetted first.
Yeah. Which makes sense. And I think, I mean, yeah, this is where Anya's naivete comes into play, because she don't know how this royal shit works. Because it would seem to me like pretty much anybody would realize, like, you can't just like waltz up to this dowager empress and be like, hey, I'm your long-lost granddaughter. But it did not factor into Anya's plan that she might have to, like, do a little work.
Yeah.
Anyway.
She's just used to things being handed to her at the People's Orphanage.
Yes, exactly.
You take the girl out of the palace, but you can't take the palace out of the girl.
Yeah. And then I wrote, oh, good, there's another song. And this is where I think they start to teach Anya about what it means to be a lady.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it's sort of like a My Fair Lady Pygmalion number. And how you have to like walk and hold yourself. And I think there's books on heads or...
I'm sure that there's a book on a head.
Something like that. The universal symbol of learning to be a lady.
Yeah. I've never once walked around with a... That's not true. After every kids' movie where there is a book on head scene, little girls attempt to walk around with books on their heads.
Which I think it's hilarious, because what are you doing with your book on your head? Like, this is just, yeah.
Well, lady, we don't, it's just a way to keep women from reading.
Yes.
You convince little girls that books go on heads and not inside brains.
There's another point in this movie which I find to be pretty anti-feminist, which we'll get to pretty soon, which I'm looking forward to. So they board a ship, and the ship is going to take them to Paris somehow. From somewhere.
Via water, I guess.
No, it's a flying ship. It's an airship.
You said it was going to take them to Paris somehow, which implies to me that you're not sure how boats work. So let me help you out. It floats in water.
Okie doke. Thank you very much. I'm just not sure exactly how one reaches Paris by boat or where they were coming from. That was the point that I was making.
I understand. I do believe Germany is a landlocked country.
There are rivers.
It's probably a river.
It's a riverboat. It's a riverboat. So they go to the casino.
Old man river. It's really weird when they get on the showboat.
Yeah, and Maverick's there.
It's all dealing, so crazy.
Dealing cards.
It's a real crossover.
It's strange. Moment. James Garner shows up. And so they board the ship, and Dimitri is teaching Anya how to dance. And Vlad now realizes that they are falling in love.
Before this happens, Vlad gives her a dress.
Oh, right.
They do the reveal.
They do the...
Like, oh, she's a pretty lady.
Yeah, they do the I'm hot reveal.
Apparently, they also got her some hair extensions. Because her hair went from being, like, chin length...
Yeah.
...to being all the way down her back like a pretty, pretty princess.
Well, that's because she is a pretty, pretty princess.
She is, but I don't know where the hair extensions came in.
Well...
It's a bit of a continuity error. Like, I know how ponytails work, and that's not how that ponytail worked.
How do ponytails work?
Well, it makes you appear that your hair is not falling down your back, but your ponytail's still short if you have short hair.
Correct. She was wearing...
a short hair ponytail.
Well, so she was also wearing a hat and a jacket at the time. So what if she just had her hair inside the jacket?
Well, no, there's scenes where she has... I studied this. There are scenes where she has her hat off and you can just see that she has
like,
ponytail
like
on.
Scrolling back through the movie going...
It's like, I gotta solve this ponytail puzzle.
Enhance.
Enhance. No, her hair is definitely... It's not even like a messy bun kind of situation. It's a short little ponytail.
That's what I thought too, but then I just assumed that I was mistaken.
You were not mistaken. You were right. This is a hair lie.
This is a hair lie.
And I'm not going to stand for it.
I don't think we should stand for it. I think let's write a letter.
I will accept every other improbable circumstance in this movie, but I cannot accept that hair lie.
Now, there's always one in every movie where you're like, I'm willing to suspend disbelief over albino bats, over like...
Undead angry wizards.
Yes, but...
This ponytail shit won't stand.
If someone's hair inexplicably grows like 2 feet...
Yeah.
With nobody saying a goddamn thing about it, I cannot accept that.
They didn't even show her taking her ponytail down and, like, the hair falling down and being inexplicably waist length. I cannot deal with this, Jason. This is where the movie lost me.
This is where we get off.
This is our stop.
This is our stop on the train boat to Paris. So, they're falling in love, and... Rasputin is watching her from limbo and
like a
creeper and sends some green fog to get inside her brain.
Like a creep.
So he basically like roofies her from afar and she starts having this crazy dream where she's like in a field and there's like a small boy who's like,
well, that's her brother, Alexei.
Oh,
so this is her family.
Literally, you see that child for like 3 seconds at the beginning. I recognize her dad later in the pool.
Well, and her sisters are there too. Like in this dream, you see Alexei and then the other three girls.
Okay, right.
And they're all playing and swimming. And they're like this like pastoral kind of
golden field.
Right. And I'm watching this knowing just enough about Russian history to be like, man, I don't think they would let their kid run around like that because he's a hemophiliac. And if he trips over that log, he's fucked.
Yeah. It seems a lot to kind of build into this plot point of the dream, though.
They don't touch on her family at all. And then her family kind of sails in there in the middle.
Yeah.
And you see all that she's lost.
Right.
In this... not at all accurate history of what went down.
Yeah. But the point is, like, here's her family sort of restored to her, and so she starts sleepwalking and sort of careening up this ship, which, of course, now is in the middle of a storm.
Right.
And so she sleepwalks up on deck, and at this point, Pooka, which is a dumb name for a dog.
I looked it up. So it is a dumb name for a dog, but it's like a spirit from folklore.
Okay.
I guess Russian folklore, so it's like a guardian spirit.
Oh.
So it's kind of a nice little reference.
That may be the most authentic thing about this film.
Yeah.
Cool. So I learned something.
You learned a thing.
I learned a thing. And so the dream... So Pooka finally wakes up Dimitri, who has also been put to sleepy sleep by the green fog. And he rushes up on deck just as her dream is prompting her to jump into this watering hole where the rest of her family are swimming and cavorting, which would actually lead her to jump off of the ship.
Right.
So at this point, the dream turns, I'm going to say bad for her, but awesome for us.
Correct.
Because her father turns into a demon and then is trying to grab her from atop a mountain of skulls.
It's very cool.
It's very cool.
It's very Bluthy. You know, yeah. Here's the thing. I feel like 21st Century Fox and whoever was working on this with Don Bluth kind of dulled his sparkle a little bit.
I mean, by adding more sparkles.
Right.
But not, yeah.
I feel like he didn't, there are moments in this where they dulled
his tatters. But like the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park, Don Bluth finds a way.
Don Bluth always finds a way.
He gets it in there somehow where he's just like, okay, at this point, her whole family turns into demons.
And she's on a skull mount.
Yeah.
It's very metal.
That's super metal.
She gets pulled back in to safety by Dimitri as she starts to cry about the Romanov curse, and she kind of doesn't know what she's saying, but she knows that she's remembering something.
Right.
So I guess Rasputin's plan backfired, and back in limbo, he rips his own head off.
Well, he rips his face off. He literally rips the skin of his face off, and then he starts to strangle himself in rage.
Yeah.
And then he decapitates himself, and his head sinks inside his rib cage. So he is literally talking to Bartok from inside his rib cage, which is apparently a hollow cavity now with pretty good acoustics.
Rasputin needs better coping skills.
He needs a better healthcare plan. He needs better coping skills and a better copay.
Woo, zang.
Zang. But he decides after his little outburst that he, you know, if you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. So he's going to go kill Anastasia in person. And because apparently he can just leave limbo at any time, I guess.
Yeah, why is he staying there?
It is pretty nice down there. Like, he's got his bugs. He's got
his skulls.
There's like a skull, like a tree made of skulls. There's like everything, like, have you ever noticed like all the light around Rasputin at all times? I mean, granted, it's like to tie in the reliquary green juice.
It's all green.
But it's all green. It's really like, it's a striking lighting design. So, I mean, I just think he likes it down there. I certainly, like, if I had the option to go hang out in limbo, except for the boredom. I mean, but then, I mean, like, can I bring my phone? Can I bring my phone to limbo?
He does have that magic mirror, so I think that your phone would be the equivalent.
Great. So I'm set.
Yeah.
I'm cool.
It doesn't seem very comfortable physically. I don't see a lot, like, bedding.
Yeah.
You know, or like a sectional sofa.
Yeah. If there was one, it would be made of skulls, which, while eye-catching, probably not very comfortable.
No.
No.
So he decides to go topside. And meanwhile, in Paris, the poor Empress is suffering yet another dumbass who's pretending that she's Anastasia.
Yeah, and she's very discouraged and says she will no longer see any more girls pretending to be Anastasia.
Right. She's going to cut them off. She's done.
Yeah, the jig is up.
Heart can't take it.
Yeah. But so, at this point, Anastasia, Dimitri, and Vlad arrive at Sophie's house. And apparently Sophie and Vlad used to, like, have a thing.
Yeah.
And so, like, she's pretty happy to see him.
I really like Sophie. I find her to be extremely cute.
She is adorable.
And it helps that she's voiced by Bernadette Peters, who is a goddess.
Yeah. Is it Bernadette Peters or Andrea Martin? Who's Andrea Martin in this movie?
I don't know, but I'm pretty sure it's Bernadette Peters. Or maybe she's just her singing voice.
Okay, maybe. So, in any case, Sophie invites them in and asks Anastasia a lot of questions, sort of as part of the vetting process, which Anastasia answers all of them correctly, either through coaching or through memories that have resurfaced. But then Sophie drops the bomb that the Empress is not going to see any more girls, which is like, why did you make them answer all those questions then? Kind of like a big waste of everybody's time.
Maybe she's trying to get more time with Vlad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Vlad does not seem to be playing hard to get here, though.
No, he doesn't.
He's been talking about Sophie this whole way, and I think he calls her,
like, his little crumb cake or something.
Yeah, at one point I think he calls her a bread angel. You're my little bread angel?
I feel like somebody should call me that.
I mean, wouldn't...
I feel a real affinity for Sophie.
Yeah.
She's like a cute, chubby girl who is very excited to see her man.
Yeah. And, I mean, I would love to be called somebody's bread angel as well.
Sorry. Bread angel, my freak!
Bread
angel, my freak. Oh, boy. So at some point during this interview, Anastasia sort of casually drops that she and her grandmother were rescued or helped to escape the palace by a servant boy named Dimitri through the wall.
I don't think she knows that his name is Dimitri.
Oh, okay. Which so is, she does remember that they escaped through the wall with the help of a servant
boy. But Dimitri is, like, standing behind her at the mantle and is like, oh, she might actually say she might actually be the real deal.
Well, at this point, Dimitri's like, oh, she is the real deal.
Yeah.
And Sophie is intrigued enough to say, well, the Empress isn't going to see any more girls, but we are going to be the ballet tonight.
Yeah. She says she and the Empress love the Russian ballet and never miss it. So they will be at the ballet tonight, which, honestly, if you were trying to find an exiled Russian empress, maybe the Russian ballet would be a good place to start.
It's a great starting point.
I feel like they probably could have figured that out themselves.
Yeah.
But it's good to have confirmation and know that she's going to be there. So Dimitri has obviously now come to believe that Anastasia is the actual princess.
Right.
And he seems troubled by it. And I'm not sure, like, how this really affects their plan negatively. Like, it seems like it's all a big bonus. Like,
well, the reason he's troubled by it is because he realizes that he's fallen for Anastasia. And if he restores her to her rightful place as the heir to the Russian throne, the Grand Duchess, whatever, then she's not going to have any use for a two-bit con man in her romantic space.
Right.
So he figures he is going to restore her to her life, and that's the right thing to do, but he's going to lose her.
Right. Okay. Yes, because he is a servant boy.
Yeah, he has not made much of himself.
No, he has not.
And even then, like, even if he had made something of himself, he'd still just be new money and there not be a
opportunity. That's true. I mean, which I guess answers my next question. Well, it's like, he would have 10 million rubles.
Right,
which would
he doesn't have the pedigree.
Right, right. Though, I mean, you know, deposed royalty really maybe can... they probably should maybe loosen their standards slightly.
Deposed royalty cannot be choosers.
Yeah, that's...
deposed royalty has this tendency, though, to marry their children off to royalty.
Their other children?
Yes. To royalty that still has a throne. That's how Prince Philip is where he is today.
Correct. So, at this point, Vlad and Dimitri are outside talking about this. And this is the point where I'm like, this is like the math is hard Barbie.
Uh-huh.
Where Anastasia comes rushing out of the house to say, Sophie wants to take us shopping in Paris. Can you believe it? Cue the shopping montage.
I do love the shopping montage.
It's like a great shopping montage.
Very excited.
And actually, like, what's the name of this song? Like,
it's like
Paris is a place for it's like
Paris, ooh la la. Yeah, I don't know.
I think this is actually maybe the best song in this movie.
It's jazzy.
It's still not good, but it may be the best one in the movie.
None of the songs are that good.
No. But this is what Sophie sings, this one, for the most part. And it's all about how great Paris is. And I could get behind that.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty good song.
Pretty good song. There's a cool shopping montage, and Anastasia gets all dressed up in 20s fashion, and she looks beautiful.
Yeah, she does look good. And so at the opera...
Ballet.
Right. Just wrote the opera. At the place where the fancy theater thing happens.
At the dance capades.
At the dance capades. Dimitri has got it BADD for Anastasia.
Oh, yeah. Dimitri has seen her in all of her glory.
Yeah, when she's got this dress on, he is like it virtually mouth on the floor, tongue rolling out.
He's
like
a Tex Avery Wolf.
Yes.
His Tinder profile says something like, you should be able to rock an overcoat and men's boots just as easily as a cocktail dress.
That is not a cocktail dress. That is a ball gown.
Ball gown, cocktail dress. Yeah, well, that's what the Tinder profiles out there are all like, we in jeans as well as a cocktail dress. Because I want you to be everything, but also nothing.
Just a cipher for all my desires.
Please be a blank canvas that I can write on with my jizz.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I would, honestly, I would swipe right on that.
At least it's that straightforward.
I mean, yeah, like, and kind of poetic. Anyway, so they are in a box across from the Empress, and Anastasia's very, very nervous. She's, like, tearing up her program and twisting. Dimitri's like, everything's going to be okay. So at intermission, they attempt to see the Empress, but...
Empress tells her the shop's closed.
So, yeah, the auditions are over, and she has also heard of Dimitri somehow.
Everyone's heard of Dimitri, the only person named Dimitri in the world.
Yes. This Dimitri, specifically, they have heard of and heard that he is a con man. And, of course, at this point, Anastasia is standing right outside this...
paper-thin door, I guess.
This paper-thin door. I think it's just a curtain,
is it a
really.
Curtain? Okay.
Yeah. And overhears that he's a con man and training up fake Anastasias. And so, even though she pretty much knew the exact plan the whole time, she rejects Dimitri as some sort of cad when he comes out.
You used me? And you told me you were going to use me?
You told me exactly what we were going to do. Yeah. You told me exactly what we were going to do, and then we did it, and then I suddenly realized that it was a bad thing.
Smack.
Yeah.
I never want to see you again.
So, Dimitri is still trying to get the Empress to see Anastasia. And so, at the end of the opera ballet, I think it's a... Yeah, I'm sticking with opera. Fuck it. I know I'm wrong, but whatever.
Whatever.
This is what's in my notes, and I'm just reading at this point.
It's Cinderella, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a nice little touch.
Oh.
Clever. One of the few clever moments of this film.
Yes. So he kidnaps the Empress.
Which is how you solve every problem, I'd say.
I find that kidnapping people really... It can create more problems, but it usually solves more problems than it causes.
I think that the laws about kidnapping ex-royalty were a bit more relaxed in Paris of 1926.
I mean, I'm sure most of the laws were more relaxed in Paris of 1926.
Yeah, I think so.
So, he kidnaps the Empress in her own car.
Right.
I don't know. What does he do with her driver?
He probably knocked him out and threw him in the river.
Yeah.
He rolled that guy.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
And takes her to see Anastasia.
Well, he also does what he should have done at the very first moment and whips out the music box and is like, hey, this music box?
Yeah, remember this?
Remember this? Remember how you gave this to Anastasia? Well, I've been holding it for the past 10 years and the girl I've got in there is the real deal.
Yeah, because it is convincing. And then Anastasia remembers a lot at this point in this meeting with her grandmother.
Yeah, the memories do start flooding back.
And at that point, Dimitri walks off into the night.
Right.
His job accomplished, melancholy, but knowing he's done the right thing or whatever characters like this do.
Yeah. There's also a sweet moment where she pulls out her necklace and uses it to unlock the music box.
Right. And then
that's the moment of like, oh my gosh.
Right.
And they sing their song.
And they sing their song again.
It's very sweet.
It's very sweet, but like... treacly sweet.
It is. I mean, I'm kind of an easy mark, so as soon as I see this, I'm kind of like...
I mean, I'm... Angela Lansbury saves this for me.
I agree.
Because she's just amazing in pretty much everything, and especially when she's animated.
Can we agree that Meg Ryan is horribly miscast in this?
Oh my god, absolutely. Like...
Could you not get anybody who... is like has even a small Euro feel. She's so American.
Like, so the point of I think our casting was at this point, like, this was like, you know, post Sleepless in Seattle, pre You've Got Mail, I believe. And so she's like America's sweetheart.
I know.
That's just the point. America's sweetheart, not Russia's sweetheart. Not Paris's sweetheart, not anything having to do with where this movie takes place, and she literally does not have the range to handle even the barest attempt at a Russian accent.
She does not.
And neither does John Cusack, but I think, I mean, he was just phoning this whole thing in anyway.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, if we were making this today, and this is a role for like an Emily Blunt.
Yes. I mean, pretty much, in my opinion, every role should be for Emily Blunt.
I think that a lot of people feel that way. I like her, too. But yeah. She can sing, even.
Yes, that's true. She can sing.
So, anyway, it really pulls me out of the movie to hear Meg Ryan and John Cusack blathering on in their American-ass accents.
Yeah, no, it's bad.
And as face-blind as I am, I can almost always recognize a voice. So, yeah. I just see Meg Ryan.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not good. It's very bad.
It's very bad. But, anyhow... Family's reunited.
Yeah.
Rasputin's pissed.
He's in a creepy clock tower, and Bartok is trying to convince him not to kill Anastasia and sort of just let this whole thing go. Because it's obviously, like, affecting his blood pressure.
And Bartok's very protective.
Yeah. Bartok's kind of getting to the point... He's getting a little over it at this point.
Yeah, Bartok is realizing he may be back the wrong horse.
Yeah. And back at the Empress's, they are now having, like, a sleepover.
They're having a sleepover... They're doing, like, painting each other's nails, I guess.
Going through old photos.
And trying to reconstruct Anastasia's history for her.
But they're also preparing for, basically, Anastasia's, like, coming out. Like, they're presenting her to the world at this point, like, at a big old party. Which is where Rasputin has planned his coup de grace.
I'm going to say, even if you are deposed royalty, I maybe wouldn't be so flashy about it.
What else are you going to do, though?
I don't know. Take a nice vacation. Reconnect.
Yeah.
I just don't...
Maybe like a yacht in Saint-Tropez or Cannes.
Sure. You don't necessarily have to do all this right away. It just seems to invite some unsavory, like, well...
It's not a great look.
It's not a great look. It's not particularly sensitive, I guess.
And also, I mean, if a mad monk is after you...
They don't know, though.
Yeah, that's true. They don't know.
I think he's dead.
That's right.
They have no reason to suspect that anything is amiss.
Except that she's almost slept walk off a ship.
Yeah, you would think that she'd pick up that something... And the train thing, too. You would think that somebody would pick up that, like...
The train thing, too. Yeah.
Like, these aren't just accidents. I do keep seeing some demons, and they're very green.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And now I'm remembering all the things of my past. Remember that other... That guy who, like, was always lit by green lights... And had, like, a bright green glowing jar.
But she saw him die.
Yeah.
None of these characters are real quick on the uptake.
Anyway.
But one important thing that does happen here during the sleepover is that they pull out a tiara.
A tiara.
It's a fringe tiara. It is so beautiful and very sparkly. And I have no idea what kind of animation effect...
Yeah, I don't know how they do that.
Created this glitter, but the crowns in this movie sparkle like there's no tomorrow.
Exactly. They are. It's like they are made of, like, crinkly tinfoil.
It's like another kind of animation, like, style.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know what that is either.
It's like actual video of sparkly.
Yes. Yeah.
In an animated film.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with it. It's there. I love a good jewel.
Yeah. And there are a lot of them at this party. So... But the next day, the Empress calls Dimitri in to give him his money, but he does not want it. He has decided that it's not the right thing.
Noble. I think he wants to prove that... He's trying to prove something.
He's trying to prove that he's not doing... That
he's altruistic, that it wasn't...
Because he loves...
Anastasia.
What's her name? The name of the movie.
Yeah, that's the one.
That he's I can't understand this. Like,
I think
what his actual motivation. I understand why they're doing it, because it's right. Like, then she finds out that, like, I guess, okay, maybe he feels bad that she thinks he's just a con man.
Well, that's it.
That's what it is.
He wants to prove that he isn't just a con man. That there's more to him than that.
Okay, gotcha.
So they have an awkward encounter on the staircase on his way out.
Words are said.
Things you can't take back.
Right.
She kind of is like, are you happy now you have your money?
Yeah.
And he doesn't tell her, I didn't take the money.
Right, because then if you do that, then you're just like, you're kind of bragging.
Right. So he leaves, assuming he's never going to see her again.
He goes to say goodbye to Vlad, who apparently is now sticking around. And also doesn't care about the money either, which is weird.
Well, I think that was like Vlad, they were in,
They were in partnership.
Were they? Because I thought Vlad was just trying to get to his girl.
Maybe. I don't know. I thought his little bread angel. Yeah. I thought he was talking at some point about, like, getting the 10 million rubles.
Oh, maybe.
But now he's, like, all dressed up in, like, an admiral's outfit.
Yeah. See, he used to be a member of the court.
Yes. Yeah, he did used to be a member
of... So he's been reabsorbed into the new court.
Right. Right. And I do believe he is hidden that.
Oh, he has hidden that for sure.
Yeah.
And good for him.
Yeah.
And good for her. Yeah. Good for everybody.
Good for everybody. Mainly the two of them.
Right.
Unless other people are allowed to watch. I don't know.
Or involved in some way. But yeah, that's their business.
That is their business. And we don't need to get into that right now.
So Pooka is also there. Pooka is dressed in a little soldier's outfit with a tiny dog sword.
Yes, yes.
Why?
I don't.
Don't give a dog a sword.
Look, I mean, people have dressed their dogs up as way weirder stuff than this.
They have, but they don't get their dogs knives. And I don't think that that's...
I don't think it's a real sword. I think it's like a wooden sword.
Oh, I think it's 100% a real sword.
Well, yeah, it is the Russian court. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like...
It was like, here's a dog sword.
Here's a dog sword.
We have a grand tradition of...
Fight for the motherland.
Yeah, fighting dog soldiers.
Couldn't find my Russian accent. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah,
It sounds like my tonsils just swelled up real bad.
You just went straight Tim Curry.
So, at this point, they're partying, and they're heading down to the party, and Grandmama pulls Anastasia aside and tells her a couple of things. One, Dimitri didn't take the money.
Right.
Two, you were born into all of this, and you can choose all of this, but you don't have to.
Yeah. And that she'll, like...
It's kind of, Grandmama will love you no matter what you choose.
Right. So she's questioning whether or not Anastasia really wants to be a princess. She knows Anastasia basically says, like, I wanted to find out, like, where I came from and find you and my family. But does she want all the pomp and circumstance of...
being the Grand Duchess Anastasia.
Exactly. So, basically, Grandmama gives her a choice.
She gives her an out.
And then Pooka, like, starts barking.
Yeah, there's a moment of Anastasia going to be reflective and think about these things. And a glowing green light appears in the hedge maze behind the house.
Yeah, that hedge maze.
Listen, people, friends, listeners, if you see a glowing green light anywhere, don't go toward it.
Unless it says, like, Heineken.
Unless it is a Heineken for sure. You need to turn your ass around and walk away, because what you're going to see is either pure evil or a UFO. And neither one is good.
And honestly, Heineken's not that good either.
You know so what? Don't take the chance.
Yeah, no. Like, just don't. Yeah, just don't bother.
Don't take the chance. Even if it's free beer, don't take the chance.
If it's free Heineken, I've been given access to free Heineken before at like a party. It was like thrown by Heineken. It's not worth it.
No.
It's not worth it.
You can have free Heineken, but at what cost?
At what cost? That was a party where I stole a golf cart.
See?
From a festival. Yeah.
So Anastasia didn't have us to guide her.
No. Back in 1926. Our time machine was broken that week.
She has is the people's orphanage.
Yeah.
So she, instead of walking away from the glowing light, goes toward it to get her dog.
Right. Which, I mean...
I understand going in to get your dog.
I get it, too.
So she goes in toward the green light, and oh, shit! It's Rasputin.
It's Rasputin.
And he is about to fuck her up.
But does he, like, so... Okay. So they go into this hedge maze. She hears Rasputin's voice and some vines grab her. And maybe I looked away at this point, but then they're suddenly like on a street in Paris, yeah, like by the river.
It's like it's like the vines pull her to the edge of the Seine.
Okay.
And Rasputin is there. And he's maniacal, and he's doing all the evil wizard shit. Well, but that you would see, expect
and also,
him to do.
Like, let me go back real quick. Like, I feel like this is a mistake because you had a hedge maze, and they literally did nothing with the hedge maze. Like, she basically just walks into it like 30 feet. The vines grab her, and suddenly she's like just out on the street.
Do you think that it was some sort of like teleportation situation?
It may have been. That doesn't matter to me. But like, you had a perfectly good hedge maze for the denouement of this movie. And I think that they could have, like, Like, it's a real left turn here from, like, you could have had a cool last battle in the hedge maze where, like, you know, like, the animals, like, the topiary animals come to life and stuff like that. Uh-huh. And you just threw it all away to, like, have another fight on a bridge. Well, but you already did the bridge thing.
You did the bridge fight, but then you get the, like, the symmetry of her throwing him again into the water because he drowned the first time under the ice.
Fair enough.
You get that, like, storytelling parallel.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. I could go there. I still would have liked to see more in the hedge maze.
I would have liked to see more
of
that,
like,
too.
I wonder if that got cut out. Because
this movie's too goddamn long as it is.
Yeah, but I feel like there's no way Don Bluth puts a hedge maze in a movie and doesn't go whole hog on that hedge maze.
It's Chekhov's hedge maze.
It feels like a fucking pretty quick, like, boss battle, too.
It does. It does feel like a really quick boss battle.
So, I wonder if it, like, got cut for time.
Maybe.
Which, I mean, they could have cut one of the fucking terrible songs, and we could have had our hedge maze battle. Anyway, Rasputin confronts her and sends in the demons, and at this point, Bartok is just like, I'm out.
Yeah,
like,
Bartok pieces out.
Yeah.
He does not feel like this is going in the direction that it should. Is this where he brings the Pegasus statue to life, or no?
Yes, yes. So Rasputin breaks the bridge over the Seine to dump Anastasia in the river, thus completing, you know, his ironic... And this is where he goes wrong, too, because, like, he's tried to make this plan too complicated. He's Bond-villained it.
Yeah. Rasputin, get a gun. Shoot her in the head. You're done. I know it's not, like, wizard magic, but it is effective.
Yeah. You don't need to, like, break a bridge in half, Magneto style, to dump this one woman into a river. Like, you can just strangle her. You strangled yourself.
Yeah, you
strangle
can do it.
Strangle her.
Strangle her.
Yeah.
Stab her.
Doesn't matter. It's
blow her up.
Anything, but like you've tried to make the circle of life come around, circle of death, whatever, and you played yourself.
You played yourself, Rasputin.
Yeah. So Dmitri, who has not left for St. Petersburg, he gets to the train station and then realizes what a stupid idea it is to take another train because of what happened last time. And comes back to rescue her right at the right moment, of course.
Of course.
So there's a big battle. At this point, yeah, Rasputin uses the reliquary to make this Pegasus statue come alive.
It's very cool.
It's very cool. It's all rotoscoped.
I wish he had done that way sooner in this boss battle.
Yeah. And it, like, Dmitri's, like, riding it or something like that, and then it bucks him off, and it looks like he's dead.
But he's not.
And Anastasia gets the reliquary and breaks it. And then at that point, Rasputin, he melts.
Yeah, he melts.
And honestly, like, I wish they'd done more with the melting. Like, it was kind of anticlimactic, honestly.
It was. He does, I believe, does he turn to dust first and then melt?
No, he melt. All his skin and organs and stuff melt off.
Which I did like that very much.
It's good. I liked it a lot. Then he's a skeleton, which I liked very much.
Like that
and
too.
Then his skeleton disintegrates and blows, and the dust blows away.
And then he melts. Is there liquid? I feel like there's liquid.
I don't think so.
Maybe I'm just imagining.
I think the liquid all evaporated.
Just playing that melting scene over and over again in my head because I do love it when a bad guy melts.
Yeah, it's real satisfying.
Uh-huh.
So at this point, Dmitri and Anastasia confess their love for one another. Anastasia sends the crown back, the tiara back in like a hat box.
Yeah, and there's like a note that's like,
yeah,
it's they elope.
Yeah, they elope. Wish us luck. And her grandma's like, great, good stuff. Carry
love,
on.
Love conquers all.
Yeah.
And then Bartok gets accosted by a lady bat,
and she makes a lady bat.
And she makes out with him. They don't know each other. She just grabs him, makes out with him.
It's a drunken hookup.
And the movie's over.
Yeah. That was Anastasia.
And that's it, all right.
That's Anastasia. So, yeah. This was not a great one.
So, did Don Bluth lose his touch? Did he get it sort of filtered out because he was working with another movie studio? Or are we... Do we have zero nostalgia for this movie and therefore we can see it for what it really is, which is sucky?
Definitely a little bit of column B. And in terms of column A, I don't think he's losing his touch because, like, the Bluthy parts are super Bluthy.
Yeah.
And really good. It's more, I think, that, like, yeah, things get watered down, and I don't know that this was necessarily, like, the best project for him.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you gotta, like, if you're working the movie biz, you eventually gotta make a movie.
Right.
So, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where this went wrong, except that it just doesn't seem like the right project for Don Bluth. Or really an animated movie at all.
It definitely wants to be a Broadway show.
Yeah, it definitely wants to be a Broadway show. Some sort of ice capade. Maybe even like a live action drama. This would like.
Well, they did make. So this was based on a movie from the 50s that was. Or it's loosely based on that. That was it was a live action kind of. Because the whole story of Anastasia escaping.
Right.
Massacre of
it's a compelling story.
And it's. I mean, there were definitely people who claimed to be Anastasia.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it turns out that she died with the rest of her family, yeah, gunned down by the Red Army and thrown into a pit.
Yeah.
So, history is depressing.
Very true.
So, I'm going to give this movie a thumbs down.
Yeah.
But I feel like if I hadn't seen it when I was 8, I would love it.
I don't know if I would have loved it. I think especially when I was 8, like, this would have seemed like a girl movie to me, but...
Oh, sure.
Yeah. But I...
A girl movie that has a lot of gruesome melting and stuff,
yeah,
and, like, gross parts, which appeals to me.
And me. I would say if you cut out all the stuff about Anastasia and Dimitri and Vlad
and the Empress... Like Rasputin and it was just like Rasputin singing capade.
If it was just Rasputin the whole time and Bartok, I could get behind this movie.
I think
it'd be a pretty cool movie.
It'd be better.
Yeah. Lots of, like, yeah, if, like, Rasputin's just falling apart all the time, like, Hank Azaria's just, like, going buck wild.
It's also weird to me that he's both comic relief and also evil villain.
It is weird, but I kind of like it. I think it's relatively unexplored territory, and...
Well, there's a reason they didn't explore it, that it kind of sucks.
I don't know. I think he could make a cool Rasputin movie.
I agree.
He's got a cool story.
He's got a cool vibe.
Anyway, and throw some laughs in there. Why not?
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's some good hemophilia jokes you could make or something.
Something.
Or about getting stabbed and shot.
Well, apparently he had a penis that was like 13 inches long.
Whoa. That's some John Holmes shit right there.
So, yeah, apparently that's a giant that Rasputin was packing.
The John Holmes of...
Tsarist Russia.
Early 20th century Russia. Okay.
On that note...
we should
wrap this show up.
We should.
Next week, we are watching a movie that is kind of undiscovered country, I think, for both of us.
Yeah, we watched the trailer, though, and I need to know. I need to know what goes on here. It is the
1986, I think.
Yeah, you're right. 1986
film, Solar Babies.
Solar Babies, reuniting Jason Patrick and Jamie Gertz after Lost Boys. I think it's after Lost Boys. It's either after or before. They didn't make them at the same time.
Nope.
So yeah, I'm excited. It's basically like the kids from Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome grew up, started having sex and rollerblading.
Yeah, it looks like a real majestic mess.
Yeah.
But until next week, you can reach us at suggestions@traumatizedpodcast.com. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We are traumatizedcast at both of those. And you can like us on Facebook.
That is correct. So until next week, I'm Jason Apple.
And I'm Erin Ridgway, and we are traumatized.
Cool, let's go drink some wine.
Yeah.